This is a great two-minute gospel presentation written by one of my best friends who I've never met. No, I met him once. John MacArthur. Two-minute gospel. Ooh, I got your attention, didn't I?
You like that?
Yeah. Well, we went to his church twice, and yes, I did meet him.
Wow.
Okay, that's that. And then this is a great chart, which we're going to refer to today, hopefully, if we get there, in the next 2 weeks. This is the best chart I've ever seen on that warrior in Ephesians 6. Isn't this cool? And it's done in color. I mean, you can't beat this little thing, and you're going to need this. So I really like this. Ruth Klein found this for me many, many months ago, and I like it. And then this is, I have a little card I use, people I want to attack, not help, and reach with the gospel, you know, that we pray for every day. You have this little card and you carry it with you. Well, I asked Anna to put it on, and she put it on this. So here's a nice little thing where you could start to lay out a little plan if you're serious about this issue of the gospel, and pick a couple people that you're going to really start praying about, maybe, and really start thinking about reaching out to. Okay? So that is really cool. Thank you. And then the outline. I got the outline there for you, too. So any questions on those items? Okay. And then secondly, anything you want to share right now? You'll have a chance to share a lot, but right now just something just pressing that you want to share pertaining to this, what we're doing in this class for a couple of weeks. Anything? Anybody lead anybody to Christ this week? Anybody come to know Christ as their Savior? Or maybe somebody would like to share an opportunity they had to share the gospel this week. Huh? Anything? Go ahead. This is Gabriel.
Yes. My cousin, who I'm very close with.
Yes.
He's agnostic. He's not opposed to the idea of God. He's just agnostic and doesn't really know what to think about it, kind of torn on it. Doesn't really like the idea of, like, organized church or organized religion. But he and I were able to have several conversations this past week.
Great.
He's kind of in a vulnerable position in his life right now. And so there's more opportunities to have those kinds of conversations.
Perhaps, if you thought it was appropriate, this only takes about 8 minutes, you know, just to share this in the scripture is really, I think it's really a good thing. I've used it so many times. I like this a lot. You might think of that. Good. Well, that's good, Gabriel. Excellent. One thing I want to say, in all of the witnessing that is done, that I've done in my life, I find a question that I just think is just over the top good to use. And I think it's out of this book, but I'm not sure. You know, you talk to people and say, well, tell me, do you ever read the Bible? You know, how often would you read the Bible? And do you ever pray? You know, these kind of nice conversations. And then this one is really good, I think. Could I ask you a question? If you were to die tonight, Sister Wheeler, you know this one well, don't you? If you were to die tonight and stand before the Lord, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? How do you think you would answer that one? You know? And everybody said, well, I did the best I could. You know what I'm saying? And it's good. It really gets them to open up. And then you say in a nice, gracious manner, could I share what I would say? And they usually say, sure, tell me. And then I start by saying, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that he has paved the way. And then that opens up for the guy. I find, don't you, have you ever, anybody use that? It's a great
one.
Huh?
It's good.
It's a good one. It's a helpful one. And I wouldn't be fearful to use it at all. All right. This is our lesson, two-week lesson on being a warrior for Jesus Christ. Who was not here last week? Anybody not here? A couple of you? Okay, the outline and packet that I had for last week is laying on the back there. And if you want it, you can take it. But we're glad to have you here today. You're just going to have to catch up. I'll just do a brief review. But believe it or not, if you want to hear Walter Cronkite on tape, Jerry has put that, what I did the last 2 weeks, and every week, he's put it on tape. And he makes me sound like Walter Cronkite. I'm not kidding. He actually takes out if I cough or if I stutter. I don't know how he does this stuff, but he does. Let's give Jerry another hand of thanks. I mean, I've been in Sunday school for, I don't know, over 100 years, and I have never had somebody doing this as a ministry. I think it's fantastic. I mean it. It is good.
One correction, it's online, not on tape. Just so.
These nerdy people. Paper. No paper. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we're going to tell a lot of stories. We're going to learn a lot of scripture. And out of this, we want to be enthused with the thought that we can be used by you, God Almighty, to reach people that if they do not come to faith, they will spend forever in hell, burning in a lake of fire. And so the awesomeness of this is before us, and we thank you for the opportunity you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We looked the first week at the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, and we noted that is a command. Okay? It's not just a thought. We are called to do this. And I would say this, and Dave Dunham, is Dave Dunham here? I got my reading glasses on. I would say this, Professor, this seems to be one of the focus verses in all of the Bible that kind of has stirred up a mission effort, right? To go out and reach people for Christ. Yep. This is a big one. It's a big one. And then we looked last week at Acts 1 and the incredible event in which the coming of the Holy Spirit to live with inside of us, to motivate and change our lives day to day and so on. God in us, the hope of glory. And we also, if we'd gone further, but we referenced it, is the beginning of the church of which we are a part of. And that, those people turned the world upside down. They did. They did. And I was, you know, I'm a numbers guy. I told you I like accounting and all that. But I was going to do it, and I'm not. But I have in my other Bible, I have it marked. But I feel like in the first four chapters of Acts, I read an account of just thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And many times it'll say, and 4,000 men were saved. And I thought, well, for 4,000 men, there's probably going to be 3,000 women. There's probably going to be 10,000 kids. Who knows how many of these people got saved? What a work of God took place. They turned the world upside down, as they say. They turned it right side up. Unbelievable what took place. And let me mention, I had said last week that it's estimated that maybe 30 million people got saved in the first 300 years before Constantine came on the scene and kind of mucked things up a bit. But we won't get into that. But anyway, and I thought to myself, hey, they did this. God used this in a mighty way when it was illegal to be a Christian. Your head would be rolling down the street type attitude if you want to talk about these things type attitude, right? And look what God did. Look what God did. Now, sometimes we are thrust into dramatic things in our Christian witness. You've got to get ready for this. And I'm going to tell you a few here now. And some of these are bizarre, but to the best of my ability, they are true. You know, my kids sometimes, well, let's forget it. We were with, Pam and I were at lunch with some friends of ours we've known for over 40 years. He got saved in my house on Beck Road in East Detroit like 40-some years ago. Yeah, it was really something. And we hadn't seen them in a long time. And we love these guys a lot. But I talked to this brother fairly often. But anyway, but he was telling us that when he got saved, he came from a very loyal Catholic background. When he got saved, he had five brothers and sisters. He was the first one saved, and he went all out for Christ. He went all out for Christ. And those people just, his brothers and sisters, they just despised him. They despised him. Couldn't stand it. Oh, but I got something to tell you. I didn't know this till Tuesday. Those five people, over a six-year period, came to faith in Jesus Christ. How you like that? Every one of them came, but not his mom and dad yet. They came to faith in Christ. And today, 30 years later, 20, whatever it is, they're still going on strong for God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And they despised him that first year. I mean, they were almost running for cover when he came into the house. He was a little bit enthusiastic for the Lord. I remember at a church I was at, and we had an opportunity, I don't know, within a half a mile of the church, a young pup Christian, Rick DeVozo and I, we had a chance to really share the gospel with a lady. Anyway, she was smart, kind of arrogant, but I liked her. She was very intelligent. But she took us, twisted us, threw us up, and threw us down on the ground, as it were. I mean, she made us look like fools. So as we left there, I said to Rick, I said, oh, brother, I said, I'm sorry you had to endure this. I said, I don't know what to say. It's going to happen once in a while. 2 years later, are you ready? 2 years later, that lady has an incredible, terrible thing in her life happen. Huh? She thought, I remember those two guys that talked to me about Jesus. I kind of liked them. They seemed like they really believed what they believed. And they were from that church down the street. And guess what? She went to our church and got saved. And saw our entire family come to Christ. She ended up leaving Bible studies in our church. How do you like that? Can I hear an amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
You talk about dramatic. I mean, she was tough on us. She was rough. I took my mom. My mom was a very godly woman. She lived to be 96, and she never faltered, as far as I know, in the faith. I took my mom to a Detroit Piston game. Got some free tickets, you know. When I worked in the banking business, you get all these tickets. Nobody gives me tickets now. I don't even get a lunch, you know, but boy, I love that job. But anyway, so I get these tickets, we go to the Pistons game, and my mom's a very proper, very nice Christian lady, was, and is still. But anyway, she's with the Lord. But anyway, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden these guys behind us, you know what it's like, they get 3-4 beers in them, down it goes. And they're cussing and they're swearing and taking Jesus' name in vain. And my mom stood up. Yep, my mom stood up and said, fellas, would you please leave Christ out of this? We had a choir for the whole game. We had a choir behind us for the whole game. I think we ruined their night. I know we ruined their night. But I'll tell you what, every once in a while, guys, amen, we need to do it. Don't be afraid. She did it nicely, but she was good. She did a good job. Oh. Now, you've heard this story before. I'm sorry. I just wanted to get some stories, and I know some people say, get to the scriptures. I will. I promise. This is an incredible story. Oh, I've got to keep this to 2 minutes. I've got to keep it to 2 minutes, and I will. I told you. Let's just cut to the chase. 2 years ago, my friend Steve Broden and I, we ended up at a restaurant within the eyesight of the Ambassador Bridge. Let's cut to the chase. And as we're walking in to eat there, there was something really bad going on at the other entrance of the driveway to this restaurant. And there was screaming and yelling, I cursing, I don't know what all. So Steve says, man, let's sneak in this door, and we did. As we came out of there, And you've heard, most of you may have heard this story, but there's a part you haven't heard, you're going to hear at the end. It's really good. As we came out of this, I said to Steve, who's very bold for Christ, he's much bolder than I am. I said to Steve, hey, let's go over there and tell him about Jesus Christ. He said, no way, Malloy. Let's get out of here. You're going to get a knife in your back if you're not careful. I said, no. Let's go get it. So he went and got, there were 19 people. I actually know there were 19-ish. And got these. Brought them over. I went over there, and I mean, they're cursing. It was screaming. They were kicking the tires of the car. I mean, it's wrong what they were doing. But a beautiful lady had been fired from that restaurant, and everybody was gathering to cause mayhem. And I said, please, I'm cutting to the chase. Please, please, everybody, please, just calm down for a moment. What is happening here? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to be quiet. And they got quiet. And she told me what happened. And I said, first of all, she was a very beautiful lady. Second of all, I don't know. I said, hey, I said, I've been in business and, you know, I know a lot of people. I said, hey, if you haven't been on drugs or in jail or, you know, all that, I said, if you haven't got that, I swear I'd get you a job in a week. Just give me your resume. I'll do my best. Okay? And she said, well, I said, well, it's done. It's over. I mean, I don't know what to say. Move on. We told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it was like having a choir in our front yard. Isn't that cool? They did. They listened. And we told them the gospel. Sister Wheeler, we might have done as good a job as you do. I'm going to pick. She doesn't even know, but she's going to be sharing something in a few minutes. Yeah, you're on the alert. That's the part of the story I want to tell. That one is good. That next day, Steve was so moved by all of that. He saw two homeless people out in Northville, older guys, over 60, two homeless, drug-addicted homeless people. He picked them up. He took them to a hotel. He put them up for a couple days in the hotel. He bought dinner. He had Bible studies. And he led one of them to Jesus Christ. He did. And he took this book, this here, okay, and began a six-week get-together with him, okay, to grow in Christ and so on. He got them involved in a Christian church at where Pastor Bob used to be the youth director a long time ago, at Telegraph Road in Five Mile area. Anyway, and they have a great ministry there where they kind of buy blocks of the subdivision and they fix them all up. And then they have broken, needed people in their church live there and all that whole ministry. Well, we got those guys in there, okay? And he kept doing it. The one fella died in the last year from drug overdose. Ruined his life. But, and this is what I want to know. This is keeping on, guys. This is discipling. This is Matthew 28. Steve is meeting with this guy. He's got him in that church. He had dinner with him last Wednesday. He's still going on for Christ. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And that all started because a crazy former redhead goes over and yells at a bunch of people in a parking lot. Can you imagine? Any comment on that one? Crazy stuff takes place.
God had your back. That was awesome.
Isn't that good? Go ahead.
I was thinking of the comment he made. His friend said he didn't like organized religion. And a friend said that. And I said, well, do you like disorganized religion? Because God is not the God of confusion.
Amen.
But God is our creator. And we are responsible to him. We are not just here for our own purpose. We are here for his purpose.
Amen.
And we have been rebellious.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And I said, even in some churches, we're all imperfect. And so we need to go get together and look at the scriptures and see what he's out of confusion. And that he's so loving that he sent his son to pay the penalty for our rebellion.
Amen.
And all we need to do is repent.
Yes.
And believe.
Amen.
And follow after him. And, you know, because, and if you want confused religion, yes, hey, there's a lot of it out there.
Yes.
Mainly outside the church.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Thank you. Now, for a really inspiring testimony today, Deb agreed to maybe use this booklet and share the gospel with her unsaved son. But Deb, something happened. Tell us what happened, nice and loud.
I just never got a hold of him this week, and I know he works a lot of hours, so I didn't get a hold of him to talk to him at all or get together with him.
What do you think? Do you feel you might want to try it this?
I'm hoping maybe after church today I can get a hold of him.
Okay.
Usually on Sundays we go over there and see him.
Good.
So hopefully today.
Well, maybe next week?
Maybe.
Yeah, and then Autumn is away. She's on camping.
Yeah.
She's going to do one next week, too.
I was going to say also, you talk about your mom standing up when those guys were using God's name in vain.
Yeah.
I listened to Ray Comfort and the way he goes out and tells people about Christ and stuff, and he'll ask those people, do you ever use the Lord's name in vain? And they all go, oh, yeah, we've used it. And he goes, well, would you use your mother's name?
I like that.
No,
you would never do that.
Yeah,
I like that.
You'll use a name of God that has created you and gave you breath.
Yes.
But you'll use his name.
Yeah.
Know? So it's really cool the way he does that.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, she's right. Because when we do go out to evangelize and we go, you know, we ask them about the law. Have they lied ever in their whole life, all that. Then we say, have you ever used God's name as a curse word? Oh, yeah, yeah. Would you cuss your mother out? Oh, no. Well, God is
I like
God,
that.
You know, so that's how I would say it, too. So that's what's kind of too.
All right. Sister Wheeler, Kathy, you got 2 minutes. I want you to tell this class something that's happened in the last 2 weeks where you share. You got 2 minutes. I'm a little restricted.
Okay.
You ready? She has no idea I was going to do this. This lady is somebody you need to get close to. She's doing this. Go ahead, sister.
Okay, so October the 9th, we're going back out to evangelize. I'm with this outreach group called Champs. Champs mean Christian have a mission to preach salvation. So when we went out, a few weeks ago, we was at the bus stop. So being at the bus stop, we got to just go, boom, like get right with the gospel, because if a bus coming, if we didn't get with the gospel, then it's like we missed the opportunity of sharing the gospel. So we went out and it was a guy we, you know, ministered to. We have tracks and we asked you if it's okay, if we leave you with a track to, you know, when you get a chance. And then we'll ask them if they have time. If they say yes or no, we don't force, we don't, none of that. So end up, one of the guys, he was a young guy, and he was like, oh, my mother is a deaconess and this and that. He starts saying all that, oh, I'm in a church and all of that. And that's fine. So we asked him, you know, he already saying he's saved and he got his salvation. And then as we kept questioning him, he was like, he don't do that, you know, he don't evangelize, you know. And I say, you going to heaven and you're not going to share, you know, with someone else how to get there? You got to go to heaven by yourself. You know, and I tell you, I thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because when you be obedient, you don't know how you might say it or how you have to say it, but I'm telling you, that guy, he starts shaking. His breathing start, like, and I knew it wasn't nothing but the work of the Holy Spirit. You got to pray and ask for discernment, too. So with him saying that, and then it's like, you know, it's under, you know, you grew up in the church and all of that, so you, your salvation is good and all of that, but you're not being obedient to Matthew's, and you gave us the scripture 28, how we have to go out and preach and teach and share the gospel. I say, now God came and he died for all our sins, and we holding the truth of the, I mean, we got the whole truth, nothing but the truth of the salvation of God, and you're going to be selfish.
Amen. Thank you.
However God led me. I was telling him.
Good for you.
Thank you very much, sister. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to understand, folks, and I'm not kidding around. And I know you're not, you know I'm not kidding around. The devil is alive. The devil is out to destroy you.
Amen.
It is an awful thought, but it's true. But with the protection that we've mentioned these last 2 weeks, the things that need to be done, and the things that we're going to be shown in this next 2 weeks with this chart, we're good to go. We're good to go. You're ready. And I want to encourage you. So let's start, and let's go to this picture, this beautiful picture. Keep that close in mind. And I've flown in all the way from St. Clair Shores, someone to read the scriptures with great enthusiasm, and that is Laura. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Go ahead.
The whole armor of God.
A little louder.
The whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Oh, my goodness. Now, we're going to look at each individual thing, but overall, what do you get? What do you see here? Come on, four or five of you, just speak up a little bit.
Evangelism.
Amen.
Yeah, and Ezekiel, he's told to warn the people.
Yes.
He says, if you warn them and they don't repent, their blood's on their head. But if they are lost and you have not warned them, the blood is on your hands. Because, and it gives you the impetus that, you know, hey, we got to tell them.
That's right.
Amen.
And it also talks about in Acts when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two, told not to take, you know, and to speak to the people. But he says, if they don't receive you, you're to shake the dust off your feet.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you notice about this soldier, he doesn't have anything that protects his back. The reason is he doesn't retreat. He speaks the truth, and if they don't take it, you shake the dust off saying, hey, you know something, the blood is on your hands because you've been warned. But, and that doesn't mean that he's forgetting them.
Right.
It's just that we're done with him for now because he rejected it. But there's always the opportunity, as long as he has life, to
right.
Amen.
That's right.
Great. Other thoughts?
I think, too, like, I know personally, being someone who would rather kind of hide in a corner than have to
sure.
talk to people, like, this is just, and even for people who like to talk, like, this is just proof that this isn't something that is ours and ours alone to carry. And
that's right.
We shouldn't, in fact, do that because we have to have these things. We have to be studying the Word of God and relying on Him in prayer, or we are just basically going into war without any protection.
Yes.
that we're fighting the devil and evil forces, and they do exist, and they are real. And of my own accord, I can't beat the devil. I need Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and with his help, I can. And that's why I have to put on God's armor, so Amen. That I don't get beaten.
Amen. One more. Overall, we're going to look at it individually, but I just want overall, what do you see there?
I was thinking, when he says, for the rest of not against question one.
Yes.
I always think about how we're always fighting something we cannot see with our eyes.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you think, oh, it may not really exist, because, you know, especially when you witness people, they say, well, that's not real. But a lot of times the influences around them they cannot always see is what's causing them to not realize this is their battle.
Yes.
Because they can't see it.
Yeah.
Whereas when you see stuff, it's easy to say, well, I saw this.
Yeah.
When you can't see it, we say, well, you may say it's the devil, but I'm not sure.
Yes. Good point.
And for all of these, like, you can't just focus on just one of these or give more attention to one of these than the other. Every single tool in the tool belt, so to speak, is necessary.
Amen.
Yes.
Give equal attention to all of them.
That's good.
Good spot. Good thought. Very good. I learned this little chart, you know, when I was probably 4 years old, you know, in Sunday school. It's always been taught and used. But honestly, that is the best chart I've ever seen of it. I just love it. It's something to hang up on the refrigerator. Is that what we got? 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow. The spiritual, we got next week though. The last week, the spiritual armor of God. With the armor in this chapter, we are ready. We are good to go into the battle that God has called us to be involved in. Okay? It's here. Let's not neglect it. The more we go out to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you need this armor. As an illustration of it, Paul makes a stirring appeal to us as soldiers of Christ. This is an incredible portion of Scripture that is mentioned here. I know I've said this before. I do not want to be a disagreeable type person, okay? But I fully expect to be disagreed with a lot, and I am. You know what I mean? It's the way it is, and we just have to face it. Part of the Christian life is a warfare. It's a warfare. And we've just got to face it. We've got to be ready for this. It's a battle. Okay?
Yes, it is.
Satan and his company, they want to ruin you. They want to ruin your life for Christ. Believe me. Now, I wonder, we've got what, 1 minute now? I wonder if there's anyone who's willing to share how they ruined their testimony at some time in your life because Satan just got through. Anybody? Anything happen? Anything? Go ahead.
Well, years ago when I was first saved as overseas, and a friend of mine was getting out. He said, hey, can you come and have a beer with me? So I went up and had a beer with him. And the next day, I just had one beer, you know, wished him well, and went out. The next day at muster was this guy who was kind of a despicable guy. He goes, oh, you claim to be a Christian. You're out there drinking all night and all that stuff, and you did this and that. I don't think I had another beer for about 5 years. The thing is I thought,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The party did get kind of rowdy, and I wasn't there 10 minutes because I didn't want to get, but I just thought, you know something? if that is going to be a thing about my witness, I need to cut it off, whatever it is.
Good move to make. Wonderful. One story, and we're over. Go ahead, toot the horn right now. Okay, that means we're done. I had a doctor, Dr. Luke Elliott, at Beaumont Hospital, And they've been my our doctor forever, that short point physicians it's called. Anyway, but he was a very fine Christian. And as you walked into his office, he had the Bible here, there. You know, you have to sit for a half an hour waiting for him to come. Bible's laying there. Let's read the Bible. So on and so on. Well, they get bought by Beaumont. He still keeps that short point practice, but Beaumont makes him in charge of all surgeons. He had overall authority over all surgeons. I mean, this guy's probably making $1.5 million a year. I mean, I finance these kind of guys. A fortune these guys make. But anyway, Beaumont authorities come in and said, you know, we really don't like, you know, these Bibles laying around here. And then what is this focus on the family stuff? You know, it looks good, but is it really what we want to do? Well, this is the opposite. This is the opposite of what you were talking about, Fred. This dear brother said, okay, I'll tell you what. If I can't have these Bibles and I can't have those focus on the family brochures around, this is my last day. I want you to know, it's my last day. Guess what? Are you ready? The Bibles are still there, and the focus on the family is still there. Could I have a hand? I'm telling you, he could have been ruined. But he decided, no, I'm going to stand strong. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.